Hey There Children tonight, and welcome to Bob After Dark Live.
Woo! There we go.
Yeah, we're at Sip Coffee House too.
Yeah.
I'm your host with the most debt and Joyce Toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever not wearing his cape because he failed epically
forgot
today.
Forgot the cape today. Oh, man.
The heartthrob of Bob After Dark, ladies. He's single. My friend, my brother, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count.
Oh, hey, Bob. How's it going? Hey, everybody at Sip Coffee House. First and foremost, Bob, we got to thank the people at Sip.
Yeah, Felix, thank you, Sip, for having
Felix and Company inviting us here
give
today.
Give them a round of applause, Next folks. Thank you, Sip.
I mean, it all was inspired by the cryptid menu they have currently
that
going
That was
on.
Why we're here, is the cryptid coffee menu.
Yeah,
what'd you try?
I got the Windango.
If you pronounce it like that one more time, I'm punching you.
It's not the Windango?
No, that's... I'm going to let you slide on
Australian,
that
Australian,
right?
No,
it's
okay.
Other side that. Of the world, sir.
All right, that was close enough, though, I guess. But, you know, there's several SIP locations throughout the region. We're here to one in Highland.
Two.
There's SIP 2. This is the second
SIP 2,
one, but there's
yep.
third and fourth one, too.
I know, but we're at, so. We're at 2.
We're at SIP 2 right
and
now.
And SIP 2 has the Cryptic Coffee menu, which means if you're listening from the Northwest Indiana region, you should come on down and try the Loveland Frogman Coffee.
Yeah. You like that one.
Yes.
Some lavender in there.
So right? I got to give a shout out to two people in the audience, right? Because we have to talk about where people come from. I have two people in this audience that are here from Seattle.
Seattle.
So they're here to listen to Bob After Dark all the way from Seattle.
Wow. They flew in just for this.
I'm going to pretend they flew in just for this.
Amazing. That's a long way to go. Well, there's a lot of familiar faces here.
There's a lot of
here.
Flavors. There's
a lot
of familiar flavors
around here today.
You said flavors?
Flavors of
there's
people.
There's
a lot of flavors of people. Yeah.
You know, we have somebody with us today.
Yeah,
and if you're familiar with the Bob After Dark verse, we've had him on several times. He is... Well, I'll let him tell him all of his titles because he's got a lot. He's a friend of the pod, friend of me and Panic personally, a really good guy, Pete Greist.
Hey. Oh, hey there, Bob.
Oh, hey there. Ah, man, I'll be sending you the cease and desist in the mail for taking my catchphrase. Oh, hey there, Pete.
Oh, hey there, Count.
Hey
that's
there,
two
Pete.
Cease and desist.
I'll say it now, too.
Dude, that's three out all of you.
Come on.
By the way, Count, can you fly without your cape?
I can. I got it. My arms are tired, but I got here just fine. Yes, yeah. But I'm doing great. It's great to have Pete here because I mean, if you guys don't know Pete, so much knowledge, paranormal, Northwest Indiana paranormal. The man has no bounds.
I do associate. I get involved in the paranormal community a little bit, and Pete's one of the finest people I've ever met in the paranormal community. You know, the guys from Paranormal Podcast are great, and then there's Pete and Jack Chavez is in the audience, too. Yeah, Jack's over there. So there's some good people in the paranormal, and Pete is definitely one of them good eggs, because sometimes there's not.
Well, thank you, sir.
Bad eggs.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, I didn't say you were a good egg. You're an okay egg. I'm screwing with you. All right. So, Pete, what is your gig? What do you do? What are you? What's your thing?
Well, I got involved in this back in about 2012. I was always into Halloween, big time. Used to host these huge Halloween parties back in the day.
Man, we missed that part.
Yeah,
too,
we weren't friends back then.
That'd be cool to attend.
Totally missed out. Yeah. It led up into kind of liking the shows, watching the shows on television, and then I went to my first public investigation of the old Lake County Jail at Crown Point with our friend Sandy Boyd.
Yes.
Back in 2012, and I was hooked after that. So myself and a friend, Jenna Parker, we ended up going out. She was a teacher at the school that I work at, and Griffith High School. And we ended up going on a couple of ghost hunts, just me and her and a couple other friends. And before long, the students were like, man, we'd really like to go with you.
Yeah.
So it turned into where we founded the Griffith High School Paranormal Society back in 2013. Since that time, we've gone on 147 investigations.
Wow.
That's a lot of investigations.
Just 20 just this year far for the school year. We've already got like five to seven more. Before the end of the school year. This year we have 112 students.
That's a lot
that are
of students.
Involved in it.
See, we just had the bowling team when I was in high school.
We didn't even have that. I had a golf. I was the captain of the varsity golf team when I was in high school.
It's kind of spooky.
I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Fun fact, I hold the Indiana Sports Authority's, like, high school sports authority, I hold the most amount of injuries in males golf.
Well, let's give it a hand for that. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's not bad.
I once got bit by a snake. I fell down a hill. Somebody hit me with a golf, but that's beside
that's
the point.
That's a different story.
Now, you know, we talk about it on the podcast from time to time. You're, like, a pioneer when it comes to, like, a high school club because we didn't have that. So, like, what was your process with that?
When they came to us and they're kind of, we're telling them about different things that we did, different places we've gone. Plus, I've always been a real student of history. I love history. And, you know, so there's actually an educational aspect to it, but also I'm into public service and charity work, social work, things like that. So this also gives us an opportunity after they do the historical tour, after they do the investigation, gives them an opportunity to give back by donating towards their continued operation and restoration efforts of the different historical places we go to. Also, they've completed different projects. Every year we go to Oak Hill Cemetery in Hammond. We put flags on the graves of American soldiers.
Nice.
There's been various other projects that we've done. That translated into eventually a lot of the parents that were going on these, because we have a lot of parents that are involved, which is awesome, parents and staff. It turned into me becoming friends with those individuals. And then we were like, hey, let's start an adult group. And that's where Northwest right. Indiana Paranormal came about in 2018.
Wow. Yeah,
that's amazing, man. Yeah.
Now, if people like, because I think that's a great thing to have, because people are probably curious about going to investigations, but they don't know how to go about it. They don't want to go alone. So if you join a group, geez, it's set right there, right? It's easy.
And, you know, it really is very important. You know, I see people that are online and they'll be like, you know, hey, I just want to get involved. And then you see some, you know, stranger on a site that's saying, hey, you know, yeah, come on. I'll pick you up on my way over to Indianapolis. And that's not really the safest thing to do. The best thing to do is to always, you know, get to know people first, go to some public investigations, you know, to figure out what's going on. But then eventually you can join up a team or start your own. As for us, you can go on Northwest Indiana Paranormal's Facebook page, and then we actually post the different places that we go, and you can bid on it. You can underneath of it say, hey, I'd really like to go, and we'll save you a spot, and we'll even provide transportation if you need it.
That's great. Before we continue, because today we're going to be talking about some Northwest Indiana paranormal spots because, well, here we are in Highland, Indiana itself. But before we begin, I wanted to touch on something that I find very fascinating because you said you're a student of history. I feel like, and maybe you can agree with me, and Neil and Steve could probably chime in, there are three types of people that get into the paranormal, I would say, right off the bat, right? So you have people that are really into history. I would say that there's people that are into, like, the scientific aspect. I want to build equipment. And then there's
morbid.
And then there's the Dr. Ben Vanderson way of getting into the paranormal, which is totally different than the other two.
Oh, no. Sitting right next to me.
So, you know, that do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You guys agree with that? Yeah. Science, history, and the others? Yeah. So that's So we're going to talk about tonight some of the spookier stuff here and around Northwest Indiana. And I'm going to pick you out here because there's some guy that hosts a show called Panic in the Region. Not you.
Not me.
Not you. But no. There's some guy.
Yeah.
What do you consider the region for people that don't listen, that aren't from the area? Because fun fact, we're the number one paranormal podcast in Costa Rica. Costa Rica is going to be like, facts. That's a true fact. I didn't make that up, by the way.
That's not part of the region, though.
No, it's not.
See, I'm very generous.
I made up that fact about us being the number one paranormal podcast in Costa Rica. They don't know.
I'm very generous about what I consider a region. I know a lot of people say it's just the main four cities, Gary, Hammy, Chicago, Whiting. I go way past that. Some people say it's stops at Munster and Highland. I go even further out. I'm talking about Coutts, Bob. I think the region stops at Coutts. It's got the 219 area code. Even the folks here in Illinois, I mean, the Cal City, Lansing area, we got Homewood in the house tonight. That could technically, the original oven at Aurelio's, be considered part of the region.
Oh, yeah, get that original pizza from the original oven at Aurelio's Homewood. Facts.
They're not a sponsor.
They don't sponsor.
No,
Aurelio's Pizza, if you're listening to the show, your boy's desperate. Get slide into these DMs.
But I'm pretty generous with it. I don't know. Where do you guys think it stops?
Crown Point.
Hey, that's pretty generous.
I'd probably say like any county that's adjoined to Lake County.
You guys are crazy.
Okay.
Yeah. Nah, man. No. You go as far out as Crown Point, go out to the square. Past the square is just lawless wasteland.
But the thing with the Northwest Indiana Paranormal, you guys do sometimes venture out even further.
Oh, you guys are all over the place, man.
Yeah, we've been to Ohio, Indiana, or I'm sorry, Illinois, Michigan. This year we have plans to go to Iowa and Pennsylvania.
Wow.
No, that's great.
All over the map.
All over the place.
Yeah, each year we try to add new locations, go a little bit different, and obviously that's with the adult club. Even with the kids group, we always try to add a couple different locations, which we just did this year, so we're going to finish strong with some new places for them to investigate.
There's no shortage, though, here of places to investigate.
Never.
The region, though, right? And then we're going to get deep into that.
And you keep finding out more and more, too, because there's places that you're pulling up that I'm like, I never even thought of that before. But so we'll get into that. You know, in the world of the paranormal, right, there's a couple different routes you can study or learn or enjoy. You have your standard, like, ghost studies, which is just about ghosts. Then you have people that are super into, like, the UFO world. And you have people that are cryptozoologists that really enjoy the cryptid side of things. And believe it or not, there are two sightings of cryptids. Well, there's more than one of one, and then there's one sighting of one that's debatable whether we don't know 100%. So if I ask the people in the audience, do you know what a cryptid is, do you say yes? Okay, so in case you don't know, some person's shaking their head no, and somebody listening on the podcast is going to be like, Bob, move on. Cryptids are creatures that aren't defined by science. They have weird supernatural abilities, or they're just a really odd characteristic kind of thing. So Loch Ness Monster, Mothman, Bigfoot, the Chupacabra, Mobile, Alabama Leprechaun.
Of course.
Yeah, there's several, yeah. So we're going to be talking a little bit about some ghosts. We're going to touch on two cryptid stories in Northwest Indiana, and then it's Miller time.
Okay. I don't think they have that here.
Not here. No, we'll finish up our coffees and go, you know, Miller time. Pete! What do you want to talk about first? You're the star of the show, man. I'm just some jerk in a vest.
Well, this location, actually.
Oh!
So you're saying, Pete, where we're sitting right now.
The Sip Coffee House, too, has a ghost story attached to it.
It really does.
You're probably going to freak out the baristas that don't know that.
Well, I would probably say that a lot of them are already aware of the situation with it. Sometimes they'll have glasses that are knocked over. They'll hear footsteps walking through here. This used to be a different store, and they actually had a video of a subject walking from the back and then coming through here and walking through the wall. Just a blur that came through here, but there's some history behind the location, and that's why. This actually was built in 1907. Next door, all of you that are in here, when you walk out the door, if you haven't before, look up at the building. And you will see a house actually protruding from the top, from the roof. That was the Coy House that was also built in 1907. They lived in the house, and they operated a grocery store in here. Actually, when you walk back here, you can see where the floor is different because they used to have the butcher was back here. So the case actually rotted out the floor over here, and it started to come through. But the story is that in the house, back in the 1950s, 1940s, they had a little boy, and he accidentally died upstairs in one of the rooms. After that, you know, the story kind of changed a whole bunch of different times where it happened, like earlier and then later. We actually, with my paranormal society with the high school, we did a number of investigations here, three. Two in 2019 and one in 2021. In 2019, three of our students, Bella and Kaylee and Callie, were downstairs, and they actually found a name on the wall that said Ronnie. It was written in kids' handwriting with some tic-tac-toes on the wall, and it was all at about a children's height on the wall. And we're like, oh, wow, that might have something to do with the story. Well, 2 years later, when we were going to come back here, we spoke to the former owner of the location that was here, and she actually was aware of the boy that had passed away. It was actually a friend of hers, family member, and his name was Ronnie. So it just kind of put a lot of credence to the story about the ghost that haunts this building.
What kind of evidence did you pick up when you were here?
We have a lot of, if you believe in SLS cameras, structured light sensor cameras.
Let's pretend nobody here knows what you're talking
about. Does anybody know what an SLS camera is? Okay, some of you. What it is it actually utilizes a Kinect device from a Xbox, and instead of it pointing at you, it points outward. So what it does is it searches for humanoid shapes, and then it'll map it on a screen looking like a stick figure. Okay, and these figures will move around. Sometimes you can get them to wave at you, things like that. So we see a lot of those figures downstairs in the basement. We have a spirit box that we use to communicate with sweeping radio stations. We get a lot of responses downstairs with that. And then back in the back of the basement downstairs, we actually have where people have felt being touched on the arm. Usually it's on the legs, like they think that it's like a little kid that's running around. If you go on the other side, that used to not be there, but when you do the steps up, that used to be the front steps actually leading into the house. So that's where that kind of stuff begins.
I got to ask, too, before we move on. When you go to these places, can you sense right away what places maybe have some not so nice, we'll say evil spirits compared to like some fun-spirited spirits, I guess you could say. Right when you walk in, can you sense that or no?
I mean, there's some locations, and I'm sure you guys have been to them too, where you kind of walk in and it just feels heavy. You know, this one doesn't feel like this. This feels like like a child-type spirit. And the things that when we've reached out and we've tried to talk to people through the spirit box, through other methods, it usually is like a childlike response.
Okay.
It's not anything that seems like it's, you know, diabolical or anything like that in here.
That's a good thing.
That's a great word, by the way. Thank you for sharing that. The word diabolical. I don't feel like
we're trying to bring
word.
It back.
I feel like that word's not used enough, and so that's my new word, diabolical.
There you have it.
It went out after the '60s Batman, so I'm trying to bring it back.
Holy Bob after dark.
Pow, wham.
So Panic, I'm actually going to pass it off to you because that guy that did Panic in the Region, not the same, no relation.
No relation. No.
He had me on a show Halloween before last, and apparently there is a Sasquatch sighting in Hammond, Indiana.
There was word. We got word back from a person that one time in 1977, they saw a Sasquatch walking around the Hessville neighborhood of Hammond, Indiana. Now, listen, it's been a long time since that Bigfoot was spotted back in 1977. And the person might have had a few drinks, so to speak, when they saw the Sasquatch. But we went to looking for it a few years back, and we didn't really find it. But we had a good time, and I don't know if there's really much based off of that compared to Mothman sightings around here. But for that one time in Hammond, Indiana, in 1977, there was a Bigfoot sighting.
What woods were we in doing the investigation?
Jeez, we were in Oxbow Park there.
Neither one of us died, by the way. Fun fact, so that's good.
Yeah.
No Bigfoot sighting.
No Bigfoot sightings, which is a bummer. But in the same sense, in Hammond, Indiana, too, as well, which we kind of know about. I don't know if it's on your list there, Pete. The old WJLB radio studio.
My favorite paranormal place of all time.
Really? Your favorite of all time?
Look, I have a top three of my favorite places to investigate. I don't want to take away from Pete's time because we have him as a guest. He drove all the way here from...
Griffith.
Know,
it was a long
trip.
Ride.
That's a tough trip.
Yeah, you know, but my top three, I got to say, number one goes to old WJOB studio because I had my Moby Dick moment investigating, and I'll talk about
that
later.
It's right behind the Chevy dealership there. We since moved down the road, but the tower's still there. We still have it. But we did an investigation there. It was all filmed for Panic in the Region, and man, oh, man. The activity we had there then,
I think. Great. What was the what year was that built and functioning? Do you know offhand?
The '50s, I believe that came.
Because the original one was the old downtown.
Hammond,
that was the Gene Shepherd was on that one, correct? Yeah.
One year in 1940s.
But we'll hold that claim to fame forever, baby.
We'll keep it. But Pete, you want to talk about the old WJLB radio studio?
Well, when we went in there, like at first we kind of just, you know, spread out, kind of walked around.
Like Scooby Doo, we split.
We split up. You know, that always goes well. You split up. But it turned into a door closing by itself behind us when we were doing a spirit box session. And that was actually caught on tape. We actually have a video of that.
Yeah. Our camera guy is here from that night, Mike Ramone.
That was wild because I was in the middle of the thing and I started hearing a commotion. I'm like, I'm just going to keep doing my job here.
Oh, yeah.
And because those doors are heavy.
Yeah.
They're soundproof doors, guys. Imagine you're in a radio studio and that thing just closed. I think Mike turned, different cheeks got red there probably and a little bit of scare there, but.
Yeah, and then there was your incident, which I'll just let you tell that story because that was phenomenal.
That night we had two things that happened to me. I was on the SLS camera just pointing down the hallway, and I see the figure pop up. Nobody's there, and if you look at the SLS camera, you see like it's a stick figure with dots, right? And it's makes the person, and the idea is if you shoot it and nobody's there, it picks up on something. And I picked up on this thing, and it was standing at the end of the hall, and it was doing this. It was wrapping its hand around its other hand, just doing this motion. I'm staring at it. I get panic over to look at it. I'm like, what do you think that is? And I think you were like, looks like it's raveling wire, like coiling, microphone cord or something. So that was wild. And then my Moby Dick moment, we always talk, in the paranormal world, you have what I call a Moby Dick moment is that you investigate forever, and you try to find that one piece of concrete evidence you can't explain, right? And some investigators go their entire lives looking for it. Some never find it. Some get it right off the bat, whatever. I got very lucky. Once upon a time ago, there was a DJ at WJOB Studios by the name of Preacher. And unfortunately, Preacher's no longer with us physically. But I'll tell you what, I think he's still kicking around that studio. I was walking around with your obelisk, which, can you talk a little bit about what that is?
Well, an obelisk, what it does is it pretty much will, in layman's terms, it'll grab words out of the air and put those words on a box. Okay. And it's using all the different things that it's sensing around it to pick a word from the dictionary that's inside of the box. So that's the best way to describe it in layman's terms. But they put these words that'll pop up on the screen, and you could be asking questions and then a word will just pop up on the screen, and sometimes it's a correct answer to what you were saying.
I didn't even ask it a question. I turned it on because I'm not a medium, I'm a double extra large. Thanks, Joe Diamond, for that joke. So I sometimes I gotta go do my own thing. Go by yourself, Bob. So I wandered off. And I, in those old like Fleischer cartoons of like somebody character like jumping out of their shoes and then their socks and it's just like elevated off the ground. I kid you not, if you can imagine my happy self just jumping up in the air and everything below me is gone. So my pants, my socks, my shoes, and it's just hovering in air. I work, office is kept the exact same as the day he passed. His last cigarette pack is still sitting on his desk. It's a great memorial. It's beautiful. I go by his door and I kid you not, the word Preacher pops up on the screen. I didn't ask it anything. I wasn't saying hi to anybody. They heard me yelp. I legitimately yelped. And I'll tell you, I don't get excited on investigations because I don't want to be that overzealous believer where it's like every knock on the door, every creak in the wood is a ghost, right? Man, that was my moment. I caught it, and you guys came over, and you're like, well, look at that. And that wasn't my first time using that piece of equipment either. I've never seen it use the word preacher before. Never. And we did it, and it popped up, and that was my moment. And that's why WJOB Studios is, like, my favorite haunted location of all time.
And it's strange because, Pete, as you know, probably you go to some of these places, and there's really nothing going on, which is fine. You can't have humdingers every night, I guess, but... Is that we'll bring that word back to
humdinger and diabolical.
A hoot and a half we had over there, but
23 skidoo.
But sometimes you do go to some places and there's just a whole bunch of activity.
Yeah.
If you went every single time you went to a location, there was like activity going on there. That's pretty much, I would say, somebody's fake and stuff if that's happening. Because sometimes you'll even go to, somebody will say this place is, one of the most famous haunted places. And you'll go there and you'll get tons of activity the first night. The second night, absolutely nothing.
It depends, right?
Things like that. So nothing it's like... not always going to happen. And it involves a lot of sitting around doing absolutely nothing except for listening. People think that they watch these shows and that all of a sudden they're just getting all this activity over and over and over again for the entire hour that they're there. No, they're there for like 10 hours, and that activity was spread out amongst that 10 hours, and they were probably sitting in a room for 4 hours waiting for that good EVP after they did it. Yeah, they tried it seven times.
Well, hey. Now, we got that, but there's still plenty more. Pete, again,
now,
what should we hit next?
The other one I wanted to talk about, because people never think it's haunted because it's just you blink and you miss it, is the Tiny Red Schoolhouse.
Yeah,
right there in Huntsville.
Over on Kennedy Avenue.
Yeah,
over in Hammond. If you guys are familiar with that, it was originally it was the Joseph Hess School, and it was built in 1869. And its original location was over by the Burger King over at 169th and Kennedy, kind of like where the bank is that's right next to it. It was up there in that area. So it operated as a school all the way till 1896. And then after it closed as a school, it became a funeral parlor, a dance studio. They even had a celebration when William McKinley became the president there.
How about that?
And then it became a private residence. So somebody came in there and put some walls up and actually lived in there for a while. Well, in 1971, they were getting ready to tear it down, probably because they were going to build the Burger King and other things there.
What's more important, right, than a Burger
King? Yeah, the Burger King historical building,
of course.
Stuff like that. So luckily, some people stepped in, residents all donated, and they actually moved that building over to Hessville Park. In 1971. So they built a basement for it, and they put a little addition on the back. And to this day, it's a great place that you can come and visit. In fact, before it became a residence, somebody sold all the desks that were inside of it. And then when they moved it, somebody came back and said, "Hey, I bought all those desks. You know what? You can have them back."
Nice.
And so they brought them back in there. They actually have the original 1869 desks on one side,
and
then some that are that you can sit in on the other side.
That's it's a neat place, too, in the basement. There's some artifacts.
I've never been, man. I'm telling you.
You got to go.
Talk to
Pete.
You definitely got to go.
We were trying to do the investigation there the one time, but unfortunately things didn't pan out. But, man, we got to – so what kind of evidence did you get in there when you've been in there?
Well, there is actually the best EVP that I've ever gotten. EVP is electromagnetic voice phenomenon. And
Spicy Bob, I'll put this in the podcast so you guys can hear it. So, but that's just an editing note. Don't pay attention to that.
It is the best EVP that I've ever gotten in ever received, ever recorded, going back to 2013. And it was actually collected by my high school group. We were in the basement, and essentially how you do an EVP is you have a digital recorder. People think it has to be the most expensive one. No, it doesn't have to. Actually, my best one cost $20. So we had it on the table. You ask a question. You wait about 10, 15 seconds. You ask another question. Everybody's quiet. Nobody moves around. Nobody whispers. Nobody even, you know, drags their feet anywhere. Then you play it back, and sometimes there's answers to your questions. You'll hear a voice that you didn't hear audibly, but it comes records on the tape. And we actually got a Help Me, which is I consider it to be a Class A EVP, which is the best ones that you don't have to stress to listen to. You don't have to amplify. It just came out on there. So I'll give it to him, and he'll put it on the podcast on the recording.
Yep, 100%.
And I can play it for you guys after this as well.
No. They have to go listen.
Oh, they have to go to the podcast.
Yeah, you have to. That gives me foot traffic, guys. Don't be chipping me out of foot traffic there.
But something like that that says "Help Me" when you're in Little Red Schoolhouse, that sounds a little more menacing to me. Like there's something going on there that's not right.
Well, I mean, with that history over there, you never know what was there before that schoolhouse was moved there. It doesn't necessarily have to be something that happened in the schoolhouse. It could have just been something there. And a lot of times when we're trying to reach out and talk to people in that area, like with spirit boxes and other methods, they make a lot of responses that have to do with something important happened there. So you never know if who lived there, or if, because I mean, think of all the kids that came through there.
Yeah,
right.
Maybe that was the happiest time in their life for them to be in there, and they just keep coming back.
They also could be trapped there, man.
They could also be trapped. Yeah. We get a lot of things from not to use the word again, but a preacher, but it's
sure.
like a pastor, and he's very fire and brimstone type pastor. He tells everybody, you know, pretty much to listen up, to quiet down, and repent, and things like that. Because for a while, it was actually Sunday school was held in there as well. You have a whole bunch of different characters that were part of that building and came in and out, and they might be still coming in and out. I hate to say the word portal, yeah, but it might be a train stop, you know, for the paranormal that people keep coming and going from there.
Richard Peel calls it a window area. It's a window dimension from one or the other. It's where the famous line of Count Panic, come on, you could say it.
What?
Thinnest.
Oh, the veil is at its thinnest.
The veil is at its thinnest. Yeah. There you go, man.
The veil is at its
thinnest. I passed
it. It's just in that section.
Man, I passed it to you and you didn't even take it.
I forgot what the veil was.
You dropped it.
We're in a
dropped the ball.
Area
good
right
job,
now,
Count Panic. Yeah, jeez, yeah. You're killing me.
Killing it.
Actually, one of the scarier things that happened there, we're in the back, there's a back door that used to go outside, but now it goes down into the basement. And myself and two students were standing by the door because it sounded like somebody was coming up the stairs. So we're standing there, we're kind of listening, we're calling out to it. We've got an SLS camera, and we're, hey, you want to talk to us again? Because you do get a lot of disembodied voices that are just not picking up on a tape, but you're just literally hearing somebody talk in the room and there's nobody in the room with you, things like that. That's a disembodied voice. So we're sitting there, and then we heard a child giggle from downstairs. I mean, normally children, you know, giggling or something like that, that wouldn't be scary or something like that.
Man,
but if there's
terrifying.
Nobody downstairs and you're hearing somebody giggling, that kind of stuff. Pretty much they were pushing each other out of the way to get away from the door and everything. Everybody heard it at the same time.
Absolutely not. Nope. That's a nope on the Bob scale right there. I'm out. Bye.
That's it. I guess so.
Dolls, giggles. I'm good, man.
Well, we gotta travel a little down the road here now, Bob, because I think who's here from the region? Is a good amount of people from the region here. Okay.
There's somebody from Seattle.
A couple people. Oh, Seattle, yes. But you know, when one of the first things that people go to check out when they hear it's a probably many of us, my first time going out to something paranormal.
Reader
probably
Road.
Your first time going paranormal.
My first...
Pete, you're a Griffith resident, so probably your first time. Reader Road, which is more so like a bike trail right now, but Reader Road is probably the go-to first stop for anybody that wants to deep dive into the paranormal around here. What can you tell us about Reader Road?
Well, they have the story that is actually, you know, a lot reused over and over again about the lady in white walking down. Elizabeth Wilson is what it's centered around. And supposedly back in the – well, to back up a little bit, you used to actually be able to drive on Reader Road all the way from Colfax into Merrillville. It went all the way through there. At one point, it became supposedly a dumping ground for the mob to go out there and dump bodies out in the middle of the woods. It was a small two-lane road. Eventually, they shut it down on one end, and it just turned into an overgrown path that you really had to go through spider webs, everything like that, to just find where the path was. Eventually, they turned it into a bike trail now, and they actually repaved the exact route that it used to go through the woods. So now you can ride a bike through there and walk through there on the path. However, because of the things that happened before, including the story with Elizabeth Wilson, some people believe that it's still haunted. Now, with Elizabeth Wilson, supposedly she was got in a fight with her boyfriend back in the 1950s, got out of the car, and started walking down the street. He got mad. He took off. And then she wasn't seen by somebody else who ended up hitting her with their car. Ended up getting thrown in the swamp on the side. So now people say that when they could still drive through there, that they will drive through and then they'll see a woman in white that will ask for a ride. She'll get in your car. And then when you drive by Ross Cemetery, where she's supposedly buried, she just vanishes from the car.
Have you ever had anything out there happen to you, or is it kind of just for the lore of it all, your hangout over there?
The only thing that we have is we do have a picture of before they put the bike trail in, and it actually has there's like something glowing in the middle, and it has beams of light coming out of it. So
oh boy, we got orbs.
This isn't an orb though.
Oh, it's an orb.
This actually has like the things there.
Bob's
so
not believing.
Wait
Bob's
till
not
you
not
see
buying.
The picture.
That's some dust, man.
Oh wait,
that's some,
wait till you see
lens.
The picture.
Wasn't there? I think weren't we out there that night when there was a photo of a? I was sitting on a bench, and wasn't there like something looming over me or?
Yeah, behind you. We couldn't figure out whether it was a tree trunk.
We didn't know
or whether it was
I picked up some stuff when we were out there, but I whatever's out there is used up energy. That thing is tired of being bothered. If somebody asked me what I thought was the most bunk place in Northwest Indiana to go investigate, I would tell you Reeder Road.
All hype, you're saying.
There is two paranormal stories out of Northwest Indiana that are complete and utter bunk.
That's a good word too.
Yeah, bunk. Yeah, there. We all had a word tonight. Yeah.
What's the other one?
The Gary Witch.
Oh, well, the Gary Witch was on a swing set.
No. You could talk all about that at the end of the show. We got a little bit of time left. Yeah. So I wanted to talk one more thing here, and then we're going to go do one more paranormal place, and then we have the Gary Witch story.
Yeah, how about that?
So the one I wanted to talk about tonight, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Mothman story. Are you guys all familiar with Mothman in the Room? If you don't, you guys are missing out. There's two episodes of Bob After Dark. You could go listen to that wherever you listen to podcasts. That give me that traffic. And there's some brilliant documentaries in search of the Lake Michigan Mothman. There happens to be a very cute boy on that that got interviewed. There's actually two of us in the room that are cute that have been involved with that documentary, but you get the idea. So the Mothman story, my favorite.
Was it you?
Well, yeah, me and Jack. All right. We were both involved with that documentary. But anyway, I digress. You should go watch it because it's pretty cool. So the Mothman's this cryptid, glowing red eyes, flying around, you know, creature. Really cool. He's probably my favorite paranormal story of all time. That and the Loveland Frog. But we're not talking about that here. You can go listen to that on Bob After Dark. Anyway, so Mothman sightings typically out in Appalachia area, specifically right around West Virginia. Point Pleasant's a very popular place where he's been sighted. That's where the main story is. However, there has been sightings up and around Chicagoland, all around, actually. Fun fact, I've seen them. There's a great story. You guys can go see that. Watch that documentary Small Town Monsters put out last year, again, in search of the Lake Michigan Mothman. Great, great stuff. I'm not going to share my story here about that one. But so there's been really cool sightings in Chicago downtown proper. Mine was on, if you count Homewood as a place of a sighting, mine was right there on the expressway over the quarry. So that's where I seen them. However, if you go on Google, there is a interactive Mothman map that people created. And if you spotted Mothman in your neck of the woods, you ping it on the map and you move on. Now, there's two in Northwest Indiana, one of which I know of because I was the one that pinged the map because I've seen them twice. And the other one was over the Lost Marsh Golf Course right over there on Calumet Avenue and whatever that nonsense street's called right there. But there is one sighting up and around there, which I find interesting because of the BP oil refineries right there. So I truly believe that it's drawing a bunch of energy there. But mine was seen right over Lake Michigan there on Wahala Beach, believe it or not, too. So
that's where, right there.
Yeah, right there. So, I mean, that's Northwest Indiana. You would think that there's not too much going on here, but we have two Mothman sightings, if you count, you know, that spot on 80 over the rock quarry and right over there on the Lost Marsh Golf Course.
Pretty cool.
Yep.
Yeah. Some say you were Mothman. It was brought up that you were a Mothman.
Okay, fun fact. I can disprove I'm Mothman right now.
Okay.
So one time I'm speaking at a convention with Dr. Ben Vanderson over there, and we get out of the our little conversation at the convention, and we're up in Rosemont, and we hear rumblings of people being like, "Oh, did you hear about the Mothman sighting?" I'm like, moving on now, because we've been. I will just say we were under the influence at the time. And I kid you not, the next day I had people sharing articles that there was a Mothman sighting at the convention center, like across the street at the parking garage, Yeah, there was a sighting there. And I'm like, of course I missed it because I'm here. Yeah. And he's just dropping by to say hi.
Yeah. Never seen you both in the same place, I guess you could say.
No. But, okay. But, is that where we're at?
We're going to leave it at that.
All right.
Bob.
We have enough time for two more stories. Pete. Tell us a little bit about the best place, in my opinion, in Northwest Indiana to investigate that's not WJOB, because that's invite only. We don't open that up to people.
We can't.
Yeah, get that asbestos if you want mesothelioma, hit us up. But in my opinion, the most coolest place that you can go publicly for an investigation is the Crown Point Jail. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, that originally was built in the 1800s, the beginning section, and then they add a little bit onto the back. But what it's known for the most is the escape of John Dillinger in 1934.
He does not haunt that place, by the way.
Yeah.
Can we confirm that, though?
Everybody always thinks they're going to talk to John Dillinger in there, and I've never heard of somebody making contact with John Dillinger in there. There was a lot of other characters that were in there, and they actually have found graffiti on the walls, carvings on the walls from these individuals. Sandy is a wealth of knowledge. Yes. Sandy Boyd, that runs it. She's the
great
president of the foundation.
Oh,
they've done so much restoration in there. But it's definitely one of those places where every aspect of the building, there's a story. There's a story downstairs in the trustees area where somebody drowned all of their children and they were in one of the cells. Then there's another one that has to do with another priest that's upstairs in the federal area, which I think is the most haunted section. Is the federal area that's upstairs, because you have the most, again, diabolical people that are in that area. But then you have the juvenile section that's upstairs. They used to have the juvenile section was actually in there, not like where they have LCJC now.
Right.
And all the windows are still busted out of the upstairs from where one of the kids started a bed on fire to try to start a riot, and they had to bust all the windows to get all the smoke out after they put the fire out. So
that place is really like a time capsule. It, like, obviously, you know, debris and stuff, it's going to age. But, man, you go there and you can legitimately tell, like, where everything was at. Mm-hmm. It's mapped out perfectly. It is one of the few, like you were saying, the juveniles were housed there. It is one of the few jails where all three, the men's, the women's, and the juveniles, are all easily accessible, too. Like, you can go and we have the story of Count Panic playing poker with the ladies' common room.
I was a fan favorite there.
You were. Yeah. Listen, you're a fan favorite wherever you go, but happened to be the ghostly variety of young ladies that were super interested in you that night. And we
happy to help.
We set up a K2 meter there. Shout out to Don Bernanke, one of the finest paranormal investigators I've ever met.
Really, between Don at Crown Point and Pete and Griffith, there's really, I think those are the only two high school ghost hunting.
No,
clubs,
Don's absolutely brilliant. Well, we were there with Don once, and Don's like, "Oh, you want to see something cool?" And he sat down, and we had a pack of cigarettes. And Tony Panic here sits down. I called you Tony Panic.
Tony Panic.
God, I'm mouth is bleeding.
He just looks like him.
It's something like that. So we sat down and we put the card out in front of him, and there was cards dealt around. And Don went around with the K2 meter, and the K2 meter basically, if it's a little meter, and if you've probably seen it in the movies, if it spikes red, that believes that there's a spirit nearby. And it went around, and he said, "Who has the high card?" And whenever it would ping the highest is where you would see the where the thing would supposedly be. And I will tell you that out of the five times we did it, they got it four right. And I was blown away by that. We left them the cigarettes as a thank you. That was really cool.
It's impressive. Yeah.
And then the juvenile area, we had that bed move. Me and Steve were up there. Steve, not here with us right now. He's out in Philadelphia being a professional wrestler, I guess. Not I guess, he knows. He was up there and he's doing a little parapsychology. He's trying to invoke something. So he's up there. He's like, "Why don't you guys prove to me that you could do something? I bet you don't even have it in you to do something." And I kid you not, big steel bunk bed just shifted an inch and you heard it. And he was like, "All right, you proved me wrong." But that place, every place you can go in that jail has like a piece of history involved. So like even if you're not into the paranormal, I recommend you take like the historical tour of the Crown Point Jail, because it is so cool.
Absolutely. You can actually go to John Dillinger's cell where he was at, and you can go stand in that cell, and then you can follow his route that he took to run out of the building, run around to the back. And then you can go a couple doors down. You can see the lion's heads on the wall where the car actually drove out.
There's filming locations there, too, for Public Enemy, the John Dillinger movie.
Yes.
There's actually filming locations at the jail you can go see, too, which is really cool.
They made, like, a fake jail there, too, didn't they?
Yeah. They put some fake doors on there that they can move. So,
Folks, we're just about out of time, but Count Panic here has one more paranormal story he wants to tell us about, and it happens to be the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of in my entire life. And this thing and me have a grueling, diabolical, angry, vengeful rivalry together.
Well, I'm just saying, there was a few years ago, there was a video posted online. You might be able to still find it online, but it was
I hope not.
In Gary, Indiana, there was a abandoned park, a swing set, and a witch was swinging on the swing set there with the typical witch hat and the black cloak.
Uh-huh.
And now you don't believe me, but it's clear as day on the video there's a witch swinging on the swing set.
Uh-huh.
You know, why don't you believe it?
Well, I mean, I believe it. I've seen the video.
You've seen the video. Then how can you not believe it after seeing the video?
Fun fact, witches don't wear cloaks and pointy hats. A lot of times they wear you know, those gothy tall boots, New Rex. And,
those are new age,
you know,
of course.
You know,
yeah,
things like that.
But the old school witches had the hat. Pete, you believe me here, right?
Did she have a green face, too?
You couldn't see the face. No, that's the problem.
A long nose with, like, a wart on the end of it.
There was a broom that she wrote off on.
But, now, I will let you plug your stuff. Pete, where can people find you at? Where can people find out more about Northwest Indiana Paranormal at?
We are on Facebook and Instagram. So, again, all you got to do is just request to join the page. And then even if you're not interested in going on any sort of trips, you can still look at all the different albums. We have 73 albums in total from what we've done since 2018. So you can check those out. Upcoming, we're going to be going to Middle Point School over in Ohio, Stark Saloon in Indiana, Ashmore Estates in Illinois, and Randolph County Asylum in Indiana. We're going to be doing that pretty soon here. We also help out with Wickedly Whiting last year, and we've already been asked to do it again this year.
Nice. Library tour was a fantastic.
Last year we raised $700 for the library, for the historic library in Whiting. So we're always looking for cleanup projects to do at historical locations. If you're into that type of stuff and you want to help out, it's another thing, reason to join the page. By all means, we just like to hang out with each other. It's a fun group. It's all ages. Some people bring their kids, and then you get to know some really good friends. A lot of my best friends I've met have been through that club.
Yeah.
And you got merch here today.
You got merch available here.
Stop by and visit Pete.
Oh, plus we're completely nonprofit, so not for profit, I should say. So
that's great.
Anything that we do, we don't make any money off of it. If we say, hey, we're going to Ashmore Estates and it's $40 a person, I'm paying $40 as well. So everybody's paying the exact same amount whenever we go somewhere.
Pete, did you have a good time today?
I did have a great time with you, as always with you guys.
Your check's in the mail for making me say that. What's up?
Oh, we got John.
Oh, my God. We have so, by the way, folks, before we cut it, there is a legend here in the Sip Coffee House tonight. Fun fact, Bob After Dark is also a radio show. You guys can listen to it every Tuesday night on WJOB.
9 p.m., give or take. Give or take
sometimes. But I have only missed this man twice, but he calls in every week, and it never fails. I need to give you guys a quick round of applause for John Panic, who never misses an episode. Oh.
Booking us.
Booking. Thanks, John.
Yeah.
Oh, John, yeah, you're nice, very sweet. Nice. John and Melvin mixes, and he always comes up with the most lovely questions, too, because I'm not thinking about it, and then he catches me off guard. You guys could all call in and be like John whenever we're live, 219-845-1100. Please call and ask questions. I know Mark in the audience, he's called in a couple times, too.
Yeah.
All right, but Pete, thank you for coming and sharing your wealth of knowledge. That's very sweet of you, and as always, you're always welcome on the show. We appreciate you.
I appreciate you having me.
Listen, I always claim that there's one paranormal group I'm a happy member of, and that's Northwest Indiana Paranormal. I've done investigations with others, but your group has always been very welcome and open to me, and I always appreciated that.
Yeah, you're always welcome to come along and count as well.
Thank you, because there is a right way to go about investigating, too.
There's three ways of going about it, because don't forget, there's another way of going about it. It's not the wrong way. It's just the Ben way.
You do it the proper way, let's just say. So it's by the book.
You just don't drink and yell at ghosts and hope
don't
for them.
Don't do that. No breaking and entering, nothing like that. So, and thank you all for being out here tonight, too, as well.
A round of applause to you guys. You guys are all fantastic. So the last thing, again, I got to thank Sip Coffee House, too, for making this possible. I put this together because they had a cryptid coffee menu, and I was like, that makes sense. Thanks, Brianne, for the heads up on that. If you guys are interested in the podcast, we're every week-ish. You can find us wherever you listen to the podcast at Bob After Dark. I'm on all the social medias at Bob After Dark. I have a TV. Yes. Oh, I have a merch booth. I have a merch booth, by the way. This place is open for a little bit longer, so drop by the merch booth. Support your boy. This is my full-time job, so, you know, support your boy. I appreciate that. And cool news, I have a TV show hopefully coming out soon. So you guys can check that out when it comes out, Spirits and Spirits. More news on that as it progresses. So that's really cool.
All right, Bob.
Thank you all for coming. Pete, I need you to give a quick proverb or joke or a thing. You know how it goes. I always make the guests give a piece of advice or a quip.
Well, it doesn't have to be funny.
It can be anything. You can say, don't play with matches, and we'll move right on.
Well, we always want to do things safe, right?
Right.
So you always want to have permission to go wherever you go to investigate. You want to make sure that you show respect for the place when you go there. And always make sure that you support them financially, too.
Absolutely.
A lot of these places need help, so we appreciate it.
Thank you, Pete. Count Panic, do you have anything to say for the audience before we go?
The veil will soon be thinner than it is right now.
Oh, spring equinox is coming up, my friend.
Yeah, there you have it.
All right, folks. Thank you for watching, being live here at the Bob After Dark Experience Podcast Bonanza. I'm still trying to figure out a word for this. Yeah. To my mom, I just want to wish you sweet dreams. Dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy and comfortable. And to the queen of the night, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Thank you all.